We're going to be in Joshua chapter 8 is our text today, this morning for our Sunday school lesson. And we just want to speak a little bit about the Lord's instruction. The Lord gave some promises, and then there's victory in obedience to the instruction. So we'll go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you for the traveling mercies for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would open up your word to us, Lord Father. I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and give us something that we can glean from your word that we can apply to our lives. Father, we just thank you for this church and their faithfulness to the people that are here. We just thank you for all that's said and done in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So, just to give you a little bit of a history on the text that we're going to be in, we're going to actually back up to chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 2, and we're going to be speaking about Joshua here. So, in chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." And then over in 6:20, we see also... here it says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Now over in chapter 7, verse 1 here, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Jump down to verse 5 here. "And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sherebaim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and came as became as water." And then jump down to verse 10. We're just kind of giving you some context of the background of where we're going to be today. Verse 10 through 12, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff." Jump down to 13, chapter 7, 13. "Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemy until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come by man." Man by man, rather. "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." Verse 16, "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah, and he brought, and he took the family of Zerah, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebedee was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels of weight, Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth and in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. Verse 23, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and the sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Okay, that's a lot of text. And so we're going to go to chapter 8. And what I'm trying to do here is give you context. In chapter 6, we see that God gave, in verse 2, God gave a promise to Joshua, the victory over Jericho. And then in verse 20, God was faithful to the promise and he gave the victory. So he gives a promise and he was faithful to the promise. In chapter 7, we see that sin had entered into the camp. And when they went into battle, Joshua did not seek the Lord's guidance. He just kind of went about and did what he thought he was going to do based on the recommendation of a few. And 36 men lost their lives because of the sin in the camp. So then God also, in chapter 7, points out the fact that Joshua's lamenting, and he points out that the reason why you lost your men is because there's sin in the camp and that needs to be dealt with. Okay? So we're going to move over to chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And this is where the majority of our context is going to be this morning. Chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai, and see, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. So we see that in chapter 7, Joshua and the men have gone up to Ai, and they lost 36 men. And here, in chapter 8 of verse 1 of chapter 8 here, God's telling Joshua, fear not. He's given him a commandment. He says, neither be thou dismayed, take all the people of war with thee, and rise and go to Ai, and see, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. So right after this great loss, God's telling Joshua, go back. He's given him a commandment here. Verse 2 says, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did unto Jericho and her king. So God's given a promise here. He's saying, go back to Ai, and you're going to do exactly what happened to Jericho. You're going to take Ai just like you did Jericho. And then verse 3 says, so Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. So we see that God's given Joshua direction on what to go do. And we're going to see the obedience and the victory and the instruction that God gives, the obedience that Joshua has, and the victory and the promise that God gives to Joshua fulfilled. Go to chapter 8, verse 18. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. So, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai. As before, Joshua was given instruction by the Lord, as he was given in chapter 8, verse 1a and 6:2. Joshua recognized the voice of the Lord when he was given instruction. He knew his voice. So what's interesting here is that Joshua had communed with the Lord and known the Lord's voice. So when the instruction was given, Joshua already had known who he was listening to. And the question is sometimes when we are seeking guidance or instruction in our life, what voices do we listen to in our lives? That's something that comes to mind. Sometimes, you know, we hear a lot of people, maybe God speaking to our hearts and he's saying, I want you to go do something. I want you to do something. Or God speaks to you through preaching or the Word of God and he's giving you guidance and a direction in your life. And a lot of voices come in. But we should spend enough time with the Lord and his Word and in preaching that we can get the clear discernment of what God's trying to tell us to do. And we see that in Joshua, he didn't go, well, I wonder whose voice that is. He knew. He recognized it. And the question I have is, like, in chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, what would have happened if Joshua had not recognized the Lord's voice and did not seek his instruction? We see that the devastation when Joshua didn't seek God's instruction on what to do there. He didn't give God an opportunity to say, hey, there's sin in the camp. Don't go up to battle. You're going to lose. He didn't seek God's instruction first. And there was 36 men that lost their lives because of that. In our lives, oftentimes, we can kind of go about our lives and not seek the Lord's will for what he would have us to do. And oftentimes we can get ourselves in a pickle sometimes. We end up and we're like, Lord, how did we get here? Things go awry, and then we want the Lord to, you know, save us out of the situations that we get ourselves in. But we could probably, more than likely, if we sought the Lord's guidance and leadership in our lives through his word and through the preaching of God, we might be able to stave off some of those situations we get ourselves into. This uncomfortable moments. The Lord has given us instruction in his word. I kind of preached on this a little bit the last time I was here, but loving God's word. When you go through and you study God's word, how many of you have had the opportunity where God, like, speaks to you out of the context of the scripture? And how many of you would, like, take a pen or a pencil and underline something that speaks to you, or maybe put something in the margins to the side of it. And if you go through, you know, the Bible, and you can look through my Bible, where God has spoken to me in my time of study, and God has given me instruction, and it's kind of a beautiful thing when you think about it, when you're reading God's word, and it's like the Holy Spirit saying, hey, listen. And oftentimes it's when we're trying to get guidance, maybe some clarity in our lives when we don't understand why we're going through some things or we need some clear guidance in our lives, that God, when we're reading the Word of God, gives us that instruction. As we spend time with the Lord through studying the Bible, prayer, preaching, we can also hear the voice and leading in our lives from the Lord. What are the outcomes if we do not recognize the Lord's voice and leading in our lives? We kind of just spoke about that a little bit. We may not necessarily get into a true tragedy by not listening to the Lord, but we may not receive the full blessings that God has for us if we don't listen to the Lord. We should be able to recognize the Lord's voice because we spend enough time with him. The next thing we see is that we see the Lord's promise given to Joshua in chapter 8, verse 18, and the second half of that. It says, here's the promise, for I will give it into thine hand. So he's telling Joshua, he gives him instructions, and the Lord said, in the first part of this verse, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, and here's the promise, for I will give it into thine hand. So the question is, God tells Joshua, I will give Ai into thine hand. Does Joshua have to second guess whether God is going to do that or not? Does God lie? Does God recant on his promises? Does God say, you know, you're saved by faith, sealed to the day that you pass away, and then later on God says, you know, that one sin you did, that one sin, that's too much. No, God doesn't do that. God keeps his promises. And here we see that Joshua was given a promise. He says, for I will give it into thine hand. How many promises are in God's word that God says, I will, or he promises us something in our lives? Who finds encouragement in that? Right? How many of you believe that God is coming again? Jesus is coming again. Amen? Amen? He says he's coming again. Is that a promise that we can hang our hats on? Right? Amen. So God gave a promise. Christ is coming again. Christ shed his precious blood for you and I that we can be saved. Amen. And those are promises that we can rest assured on. So here we see Joshua was also getting a promise. He says, for I will give it into thine hand. He's talking about Ai. As before, the Lord was giving a promise to Joshua, as he did in chapter 6, verse 2, and he gave it in 8, 1. Joshua had experienced the fulfillment of the Lord's promise before and trusted the Lord to fulfill his promise before. Joshua had experienced the fulfilled promise in chapter 6 with Jericho. Now he's going to experience the promise in chapter 8. The Word of God is full of promises to you and I as well. And I want to take a look at some of these promises. So what are some of the promises that you and I can rest upon and claim? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. And I promise I'll try to keep you awake. Okay, we're going to do a little exercise here. Here's some promises. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So here's the personalized portion of it. Let's put our name where it says my son. So you guys know your name, right? How many don't know your name? How many of you are asleep? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to say this out loud. Instead of saying my son, I want you to put your name there. So it'll be Michael, okay? Or what's your name? We'll say Jeff, okay? So let's out loud, we'll say our name, Michael, okay? If thou wilt receive my words. Does that personalize a little bit? You put your name there. And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and riches, for her as for hidden treasures, here's the promise, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Does that make it a little more personal? Do you see the promises there, the instruction there? Here's the instruction. It's personalized, your name, if, and then the promise. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to put your name here, okay? So it'll be Michael for my name. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's the instruction. Here's the promise. For the length of days and the long life and peace shall they be add unto thee. Here's the instruction. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And now the promise. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So we see in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 there. Let's go down and read through 5 and 6 here for just to finish this out. Here's the rest of the promise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a promise in that. So to personalize it, when you're reading the scriptures, if you put, instead of my son, you put your name there, God's speaking to you. He's speaking to me through his word. And if we take the moment to put our name there, it helps personalize that. But we see in verse 1 that instruction. We see in verse 2 the promise. We see in verse 3 instruction again. Verse 4 we see promise all the way through verse 6. So Joshua had experienced the fulfillment of the Lord's promises before, and he trusted the Lord to fulfill his promises now. So as we take a moment to think about the times in our life that the Lord has fulfilled a promise to us, and do we still trust him to fulfill his promises to us? So is there a time in your life when maybe you're going through something and you claimed a promise from God's word? How many of you can say, you know, I was reading through God's word, and God spoke to me, and there was a promise given to me through instruction, or there's a promise he gave me, and I claimed it, and God was faithful to fulfill that promise. Right? So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my life verse. There's a promise in that. The promise is that reminds me, that I constantly remember, is that if I trust the Lord with all mine heart, and I don't lean on my own understanding, that God will guide and direct my path. He says he shall direct your path. He doesn't say he may. He says he shall. But there's instruction given to me as Michael Current that I have to be obedient to in order for allow the Lord to have that happen. And the next thing we see was that Joshua's obedience to the Lord. We're going to go back to Joshua chapter 8. And we're going to be in 18. The last part of that, it says, and Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. So we see Joshua's obedience here. We see that God, in the first part of that, let me get there, I'm sorry. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai. So there's instruction. Here's the promise, for I will give it into thine hand. And then the obedience of Joshua, and Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So Joshua was immediately obedient to the Lord's instruction. Joshua did not give or did not question the Lord. He did not second guess the instruction given by the Lord. If you're like me, sometimes God will give instruction and you're maybe a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Hesitant. You're like, Lord, is that really what you want me to do? And God says, no, I want you to do this. And we hesitate. Or we don't do what God calls us to do. We're like, boy, that just doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. Right? And I may have even spoken to this a little bit when I was here the last time. And please forgive me if I'm reuttering what I've already said. But after I got saved and God started calling me into the ministry, I know exactly where I was at. I was driving down Highway 65 by Bondurant, and I'm in my truck, and it's like God came calling, and he says, I want you to preach the word of God as an evangelist. It was almost that clear, not audibly, but the calling of God. And I remember out loud driving down the road like, Lord, you got the wrong truck, right? I think you wanted the guy going that way, right? You have the wrong truck, because I know who Michael Current is or was and what I had done, and I'm like, Lord, you don't want me. But God had given me instruction. This is what I want you to do, okay? Now, unlike Joshua, I'm like, well, let's wait on this a little bit and see what the Lord, if the Lord was really meaning to hit me in that truck. But it never went away. God's calling never went away. And it's continued to grow, and God's continued to open up doors. But God gave me instruction. And although I second-guessed maybe God's calling on my life initially, before I fully surrendered to what God had me to do, we see that Joshua, he didn't second-guess what God had told him to do. He gave him instruction, and Joshua did it. And so God had given us a great example in Joshua here that when he gives instruction, he wants us to be obedient to his instruction. He doesn't want us to delay. He doesn't want us to, you know, second-guess him. There's great blessings and promises to being obedient to God's word. Joshua stretched out the spear in the direction that the Lord had instructed him. He did not stretch it out in a different direction that he thought would be better. Joshua didn't, when God said, Joshua, stretch out the spear towards Ai, Joshua stretched his spear towards Ai. He didn't say, well, I want to point it toward Jericho. I know I could take Jericho. We already did that, right? He didn't point it in the direction that he thought would be best. He pointed it in the direction that God told him to point it. He followed the instruction to the T. And we see in verse 6, God had given instruction, and because of Achan not being obedient to God's instruction, chapter 7 wasn't so good. A lot of men lost their lives because of the disobedience to God and what God's instruction was. In this description, the question is this a description of our obedience to the Lord? How's our obedience? Do we take time to examine, you know, how we are listening to God's instruction in his word? Are we obedient to what God wants? Is it always appealing sometimes what God wants us to do? You know, I think of a man, I don't know how many of you have heard, but there was a gentleman, there was a missionary. How many of you have heard of the missionary Trail, the Trail family? So, how many of you have heard of Brother Scott Pauley? Anybody? Okay. So we had a missionary or an evangelist at our church just recently, Brother Scott Pauley, who was friends with a missionary in the Middle East. And he was obedient to God's call. God gave him instruction to be there. He was serving as a missionary there, and he lost his life. And 15 minutes before he passed away, he told Brother Paul, we need to do more for the Lord. And the reason I bring this up is because Brother Trail was obedient to the Lord's call, even to death. And it's humbling to me to think that, you know, sometimes, you know, in order for us to serve the Lord, maybe we have to be discomforted here in the United States a little bit. You know, we have to get up a little early to drive 2 hours, you know, or more. But in comparison to what Brother Trail paid the price for to serve the Lord, is very minuscule. And, you know, when we think of obedience to the Lord, he paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we ought to honor that man for what he did for serving the Lord. He laid down his life to reach others, lost souls. His burden for the lost was so heavy that he was willing to pay the ultimate price. He died beside his wife and children. They shot and killed him in the car. But I would just encourage us that our obedience, you know, we would consider, you know, how obedient we are to God's instruction. Are we taking time to be in God's word for the instruction? And then consider what God has done for us through his son. Are there times in our lives when the Lord gives us clear instruction and yet we decide to go our own direction? I can say that I've done that in my life. Is there anybody here that has not done that? Amen. God gives you instruction, gives you direction, and you're like, I want to go this way. And you do it, right? And again, like I said, it doesn't necessarily end in tragedy, but you may not receive all the blessings that God would have for you or for me. A preacher quoted here says, obedience to the will of God is the pathway to perpetual honor and everlasting joy. When your will is God's will, you will have your will. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Let's think about that for a minute. I wonder if, like, Noah got the closest snail. He's like, come on, man, we got to go. You know, it's starting to rain. We got to go. But anyway, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Right is right, though all condemn, and wrong is wrong, though all approve. We live in a world where some people are saying what we do is wrong and what they're doing is right, and we know it's contrary to God's word. The fourth thing we see here, and we'll be wrapping up shortly, another 20 minutes or so. Verse 19, we see the victory in obedience to the Lord. In verse 19 it says, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. So we see that there is victory in obedience. Joshua stretched forth his hand, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. They're watching him. You see this? The ambush is watching to see what Joshua is going to do. And as soon as he stretched out the hand, they entered into the city and took it and hastened and set it on fire. Joshua's obedience to the Lord was the beginning of victory in the battle. Others were waiting on Joshua's obedience to enter into the battle. The victory over spiritual battles begins when we are obedient to the Lord. So the thing that we see here is that others may be watching us to see what we're going to do. Those of us who have children, they're probably watching us to see what we're going to do. Are we as parents obedient to God's word? Are we listening to his instruction? Do we heed God's instruction in our lives? And then our children or grandchildren or other people, Christians in the church maybe, or just people in society, they may be watching us to see, what are they going to do? Are they going to listen to what the Lord's instruction is for their lives? How many of you have ever been in the world or at work or wherever, and somebody will say, well, this is what Christians do, right? They know what we're supposed to do. Sometimes I'm not sure how they know what we're supposed to do, but they know. Well, Christians shouldn't talk like that, or Christians shouldn't do this, or Christians shouldn't do that. So they're watching. We have multiples of people watching what we are doing, and if we're obedient to God's word, if we're doing what God has instructed us to do. And so there is victory over spiritual battles, and that begins when we're obedient to the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you examine that text, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. So there's something that needs to take place before the second half of that, which is resist the devil and he will flee from you. The scriptures doesn't say for victory, when temptations come, just resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Is that what the Bible says? There's something that's before that. And that is, you have to submit yourself, therefore, under God. Submitting yourself under the obedience of the Lord. It's kind of like this. You know, we live in Iowa. We'll understand this. So we have a hailstorm, right? And we've got like golf ball size hail raining down, right? And we're going to walk outside and we're going to resist the hailstorm. How many want to do that? Nobody? Come on. Okay. But when the hailstorm comes, right, and there's a shelter, and you submit yourself under the shelter, and the hailstorm comes, now what? You're submitted under the protection of that. See, the picture here is submitting yourselves, therefore, under God. What does God instruct you to do? What is God guiding us to do? Submitting to God's will for our lives provides that protection that when the temptations of life come, we can resist the devil because we are submitted unto God, and there's a promise. God says, he will flee from you. The word submit in the Greek And the Greek word is huptasos. It means to be to obey or to be under obedience. So what God's saying is, when you're obedient to my instruction, there is protection. Our obedience to the Lord may encourage others to fight spiritual battles in their lives and to overcome besetting sins. And I'm going to make this quick. The fifth thing we see is the Lord's promise. We see that in verse 21 and 25. For sake of time, we're not going to go there. The Lord was faithful to his promise, as he always is. God's word is truth, and he is faithful to his promises because he cannot lie. We see that in Titus 1:1-2. The next thing we see is Joshua stayed in the battle to the end. In verse 26, for Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Being obedient to the Lord, Joshua stayed in the battle and won the victory. As born-again believers, the Lord desires us to keep fighting for the spiritual battles we face and to not give up. So just to recap on the lesson this morning, God has given us instructions and promises through his word. The question is, as we go through life, are we going to obey the Lord's instruction and claim the victories through the obedience that he has called us to? Are we going to claim the promises in God's word that he has given us, trusting him to fulfill them and to live our lives in victory? And the last but not least, are we going to stay in the battle? Are we going to stay in there, keep studying God's word, keep listening to the preaching of God's word, keep listening to God's instruction, loving the Lord, and finish to the end? We don't want to be running a marathon and finish a block and a half away from the finish line, right? What a disappointment. So hopefully that was an encouragement to you that you can see God giving us instruction through his word. God's got some promises, and through obedience we can claim those promises. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the example you've given to us in Joshua, Lord. We thank you for the obedience that he had, Lord Father. We thank you for the victories that came. And Lord, we thank you for the promises that you've given to us in your word, that we can claim them. Lord, I pray that we would have a love and a passion for your word. Lord, I pray that we would personalize your love letter to us. Father, we just thank you for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.